Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
This particular passage of scripture is known as Mary's song, maybe more formally known as the Magnificat. And it's Mary expressing her great joy and at the birth of Jesus, that the coming of the Messiah, that God is fulfilling his promise to his people, which is beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful passages perhaps in all of Scripture, and maybe perhaps some of the most emotional words we find in Scripture. And yet, if we kind of look at Mary's situation, we might ask, why? Why would she be proclaiming with such beauty, such great praise to God? You know, people are probably talking about Mary. I mean, you know, not everybody's going to believe that this virgin was having a baby by the Holy Spirit. She was engaged to Joseph, and the angel comes to her and tells her that even though she is a virgin, she is going to give birth and give birth to the Savior of the world. Not everybody's going to believe that. You know that there were people in town whispering and pointing and talking and gossiping about her. You know that people were keeping their distance from her at this point. The Bible doesn't tell us these details, but just knowing human nature, we can kind of assume, particularly in this era, I suppose even in our very modern era, where it's much more common if a woman is pregnant and doesn't have a husband, there might even be a few people today in our modern era that would gossip and whisper a bit. But certainly in that time, in that place, her reputation is not going to be very good at this point. Friends are going to suddenly be keeping their distance, and people are going to be talking about her. Not only her, but Joseph. He's not going to get much better treatment from the community. And then, in order to have this baby, she has to travel to Bethlehem. There's a fulfillment of prophecy there, but how that came about is someone in Rome decided, yeah, everybody's got to return to their homeland, to the city of their birth, and pay taxes. And so, by the time she is like 9 months pregnant, she is traveling on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's approximately 145 kilometers, about 90 miles on a donkey while she's pregnant. And then she gives birth in a stable. And then things get even worse, as if all that's not bad enough. If we look at the second chapter of Matthew, King Herod hears the news that a king has been born. King Herod's not the nicest guy in the world. In fact, he's one of the worst guys that's ever lived. And he decides he doesn't want the competition. He's fearful of this new king that he's hearing about. And he doesn't know exactly when this king was born. He knows the area in which the king was supposed to be born. And so, in one of the most horrific, most terrible stories of all of Scripture, King Herod has every little boy, 2 years old and younger, in that whole area slaughtered. Kills them all. The angel appears to Joseph and warns him of this, and Joseph has to take Mary, who has just given birth, and this little baby, and travel into Egypt. He can't return home to his family, assuming they would even receive him after all of this rumor going around. He has to go into Egypt, flee for his life and the lad of his child. Things are not great with Mary. Things are difficult and just going to get worse. And yet, in the midst of all of this, we have these beautiful words, the Magnificat, Mary's singing of praise to God. And this is the real story of Christmas. This is the real event that takes place that we celebrate at Christmas, is the understanding that life is going to be hard. It's not to say it's all bad. There's lots of blessings in life. There's lots of good times in life. But I think most people agree, life's not easy. Life is difficult. Life is a struggle. And we're going to have sadness, and we're going to have grief, and people are going to die that we're going to truly miss. And especially this time of year, it seems like that grief is even more intense. And we're going to be away from people we love sometimes, and we're going to be with people that we barely tolerate sometimes. And it's just going to be difficult in life. There's going to be circumstances in which we struggle. And yet, the same phenomenon that happened with Mary is available to us. That in the midst of all her very difficult circumstances, she has the sense welling up within her of praise to God. And where does that come from? And the answer is, it comes from Christ. That it is this message of Christ that is welling up within her. It is the Christ child, the Emmanuel, God with us, that brings us the things that we truly need in life. Maybe our circumstances will be pleasant at times, and maybe they won't. But what we celebrate this Christmas is more important than our circumstances. It's more powerful than that. What we celebrate at Christmas, and amidst all the other things that we celebrate, and I think it's great that we have a lot of other things to celebrate. I think presents are great, and lights are great, and music, and all the things, and gatherings, and dinners. I think all that is great. We shouldn't avoid that. But in the midst of that, and in the midst of the hardships of life, there are things that Christ brings us. And we recognize those this Christmas season. What I have on the table here in front of me is an Advent wreath. It has four candles around the outside and one in the center. And traditionally, each one of these candles stands for something. We light one each week until all four are lit. And then the center candle is lit either today, if the church is not having a Christmas Eve service, or if the church is having a Christmas Eve service traditionally lit on Christmas Eve. And these four candles represent exactly the kind of blessing that Mary is experiencing in the midst of all difficulty. And it's the kind of blessing that we can receive in our own spiritual life in the midst of all difficulty. The first thing that we celebrate is hope. If we have hope, if we just have hope, regardless of how difficult things might be, we can continue on. We can keep putting one foot in front of the other if we have the hope we're going somewhere good. It may not be somewhere easy. It might not be perfect. But if we have hope that we are headed in a better direction than what we have right this second, we have hope. And that is what Christ brings us. Christ is with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. His Spirit is with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And regardless of what struggles we may have today or the coming year, regardless of what we have struggled with in our personal life, with people around us, in the world in general, we have hope because we have Jesus. Not because we can figure everything out. Not because people will somehow get their act together and somehow act right. Not because everything will come out perfect in our life, but because we have Jesus, we have hope. The second candle that we light is the candle of peace. The Apostle Paul wrote about the peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes we look for peace, hoping that if we can just control enough of our circumstances, if we can have enough money, enough power, enough something, and we can control everything around us, then I could take a deep breath and I could just relax if I knew everything was working right. Sometimes we think, if I could just get everybody in my life to line up and do what I know they're supposed to be doing, then I could relax. Well, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? We have these ambitions, and we don't often say them out loud, but we have these ambitions that if I can just get enough for myself personally, enough people around me that do things the way I want them done, enough circumstances around me that things are easy in my life, then I can have peace. And people live their entire life like that sometimes, wondering, where is this peace that the Bible keeps speaking of? Where is this peace that preachers keep talking about, that song lyrics keep saying? Where is this peace? It doesn't come from our circumstances. People aren't going to get their act together. They're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Things are going to go wrong. We are never going to be able to control everything. But we can have peace, because peace doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from our spirit that is the Spirit of Christ. The third candle we light represents joy. Much like peace, we sometimes think, if I could just gather enough, if I could just do enough, if I could just find that right thing to make me happy, that right person, that right relationship, that right job, that right something, if I could just get that next degree, that next promotion, you know, that next raise, make that next move, then I could be happy. Well, there might be some circumstances like that. We might find relationships, we might find jobs, we might find promotions that we really do enjoy. But even when we have those things, life is still hard. Real joy, real happiness is again from the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of Christ within us. It is a gift that comes from the Spirit of Christ. The fourth candle we light represents love. God tells us in the book of 1 John that God is love. It doesn't say God is loving. It's not an adjective or an adverb to describe God. It is God's very nature. It is love with a capital L in English to define it as a proper noun. It is who God is, that God is love. We can find love in the world, but that's an extension of God's Spirit, even in this fallen world. We can love family and friends, but that's an extension of God's love. Jesus was once asked, what's the most important thing in all of Scripture? The most important thing. If we know nothing about Scripture, what could we know that would be the most important thing? And Jesus' answer was, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every ounce of your fiber, everything in you, love God completely. He said the second most important thing is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That if we love God, we love each other, we love ourselves. He said, everything in the law, everything in the prophets, everything in Scripture comes down to that. If you can do those things, if you can love God with every fiber of your being, if you can love people around you, even when they're not always lovable, if we love ourselves, even though we're not always lovable, everything else in all of Scripture comes into that. The candle in the center is called the Christ candle. We light the Christ candle to make sure we remember exactly where all of this comes from. It does not come from any of our circumstances. It does not come from any power that we have in ourselves. It is the center candle, because from Christ all these other things radiate. When we have Christ at the center of our life, what happens from that is hope and peace and joy and love. If we have that, we have everything. And that is the message of Christmas. That is what we celebrate. That is why we sing hallelujah. This is why we celebrate Christmas. All the other things, like I said, I don't ever criticize any of the Christmas traditions. They're fun and they're important. And ties with family and friends and all the things we do. It's good stuff. But if we miss the most important thing, what a sad reality that would be. If we see everything else at Christmas and we miss this, then we really don't have anything else. But if we get just this thing, that we have Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, within us, the Holy Spirit of Christ is within each one of us. And when we have that, everything radiates from there. Hope and peace and joy and love radiates from the center points, which is the Spirit of Christ in our life. This is Christmas. And this is what we celebrate. And so I wish that for you this Christmas season. I wish that for myself and for all the world this Christmas season, that we would have this, that we would have Christ, that we would renew within ourselves, even if we've followed Christ for many years, even if we have experienced many, many years of Christmas, that we would take this one to renew the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that comes only from the Spirit of Christ within us. We don't have to figure it out. We just have to allow Christ to be fuller in our life. Everything else would radiate from there. And that's why we pray together, because we recognize that Christ is here with us. That's why we recognize that Christ is in our hearts and in our lives and our spirits together. We recognize that and we lift our prayers to God, and we can do that in any number of ways. I'm going to pray a prayer aloud, and then I'll invite you to pray aloud as well if you like. And as I always say, you can pray in any language that you want. It doesn't have to be in English. Or we can just have some time of silent prayer, because God hears our prayers in the silence as well. He hears the prayers of our heart. And so we pray together, recognizing that we already have the greatest gift. We already have everything we need, and hope and peace and joy and love, because we have Christ. Let's pray together. Loving Christ, we thank you that you were not content to just look down upon us and watch us struggle in this world. You were not content to just give us instructions to live by, tell us the right thing to do. You actually came to be with us, to live life in this fallen and very difficult world, to experience the hardships that we experience and even beyond what we experience. To know exactly how difficult this life is, because you lived it and then gave yourself for us, that we could have more than just this life, that we could have eternal life with you, that we could have hope and peace and joy and love regardless of our circumstances, even in the midst of our struggles, not because we manufacture it or we find it, but because it is within us in your Spirit. And so this Christmas, we say thank you. We say hallelujah. In gratitude for the Christ that is born. With that gratitude, with all the troubles that we experience in this life, with your Spirit in us and around us, Lord, hear us as we lift our prayers to you.